Do you want to start off by just telling us a bit about the history of Bloom and your role in Bloom?
Yeah, okay. Well, we started with Bloom in 2007. There were a number of attempts at running a proper National Garden Show going back over 20, 30 years, all my time, I suppose, career in horticulture. But it got to the point where there were a lot of fantastic designers, our best designers, going to the likes of the Chelsea Flower Show. And we didn't have a proper show here, if you like, that we could show the sort of skills that we have. And then in terms of what was happening in the economy and so on, it seemed like 2007 was the time to have our own proper garden show. So thankfully Bord Bia, because Bord Bia, as you know, is responsible for food, drink and horticulture, said okay, we'll get behind it. So I put some plans and proposals together that we would kick it off and run it for a number of years, and you know, on a trial basis, if you like. That was 7 years ago. This is year 8, and thankfully it's going really well. It's not just a garden show, as you know. It's not like the Chelsea Flower Show or Hampton Court, run by a Royal Horticultural Society. We have a very different remit, so it means that the show can be broad and have a lot more interest there. So my background is horticulture. What I'm really interested in is getting people excited and engaged with plants and gardens, garden design, and hopefully then that feeds back into the industry and into production and so on. But of course, as I said, we are Bord Bia, so it's a great opportunity as well to talk about food, artisan food, quality assurance. And then we bring in lots of other elements that we feel work with the show. So we want people to come and have a really good day out, whether or not they have any serious interest in plants or gardening or food. So therefore we've brought in lots of entertainment, we've lots of different stages, we've got all the top chefs coming in doing their thing, and we bring in the likes of the Craft Council and sculpture and botanical art, where we are here now. There's going to be a fantastic botanical art exhibition going on there as well. So yeah, we've tried to make it a really good experience to bring as many people in as possible. Obviously the hardcore gardeners and horticulturists will be here, you know, looking for their rare and unusual plants, and we'll have that as well. The show, I suppose, is a very similar format to anyone who hasn't been at the show before. It's a very similar format to the top shows in the UK, like Chelsea and so on. We run for 5 days over the June Bank holiday weekend, kicking off a little bit earlier this year because the crowds have got so big, we need to kind of stretch the hours a bit. So we start at 9 a.m. every day, running till 6 p.m. The location is probably the best location in the country for something like this, because we're in the city and yet we're in this fantastic wall park. It's actually the biggest wall park within the city in Europe, so we have 1,700 acres at our disposal. It's a beautiful green backdrop. It's a fantastic place to run a garden show, and it means then we get to borrow that landscape and wrap that around the gardens as well.
And a big part of Bloom is that it does radiate off the walled garden here, so you're including kind of our kind of Irish garden history in Bloom as well. And is that kind of very important for you?
Yeah, it is. It's probably more important to the likes of the people in Fáilte, Ireland and so on, who are into generating, you know, garden tours and visits and so on. But it's hugely important because if people see plants used properly and they get to understand and they get to see what a fantastic garden can look like, that's going to benefit them, and they're going to go off and do something themselves, I would hope. Yeah, no, this, I suppose the reason we chose this precise location in the park is because we have the walled garden. Like, this is a 350-year-old landscape around us here. So we have some fantastic trees planting, some fantastic landscape all around the show. The walled garden itself is one of the few fully restored Victorian walled gardens. All the produce is used here in the restaurant beside us. There's a fantastic collection of flowering plants, and if you're into design and if you're into using plants and you're into using colours, if you walk through that, you can see the sort of Gertrude Jekyll type effect where they've grouped the colours, and you go from cool whites and warms and blues up to pinks into the hot colours at the far end. So it's a fantastic landscape to have in the middle of the show. There are still a lot of people who have never seen the site here, and they should come along anytime. They don't even need to wait for the Bloom show, but obviously when we're here, we bring everything into the show, and it works really well.
A big part for us garden lovers is all the show gardens, and even for kind of plant lovers, there's the gardens are very kind of traditional plant gardens, but there's also kind of always that element of kind of whimsy and magic to the show gardens.
Yeah, very much so. They're not called show gardens for nothing. Like it is show business. It's the glitzy or the glamour end of gardening, I suppose. And what you can do in a show garden that you can't do in a real garden in the real world, you can push out the the boundaries. You can try out new materials. You can do things that are a little bit weird and wacky. They only need to look fantastic for 5 days, whereas if you're designing a garden for use all year round, you know, you've got to think about year-round interest, what's going to happen in the spring, the summer, have I got autumn colour and so on, have I got bulbs then coming up then at the end of the winter. It's very different because these gardens are designed to look their best for 5 days. So you can play with them and you can do things in a different way. And you can construct things almost like props, if you like. The gardens are not real as such. Now, when they're judged, and they are judged very, very thoroughly, the judges will go on and they do look at all the detailing and the construction, and everything has to stand up to that. But it's still not the same as building a permanent garden that has to have a completely different construction method and has to look good all year round.
And you talked about the judging process. What's that like? What's the difference between gold standard and the rest?
It's very, very rigorous. Again, it's borrowed from the UK. I've been visiting, you know, Chelsea and top shows around the world for 20-25 years. And when we started with the Bloom Show and we spoke about designers, about how they wanted to be benchmarked, that's what they said. They said they want something that's comparable to the best in London. So the likes of Chelsea or Hampton Court, Tatton Park, shows like that. So we brought in a very similar rating system. So we try to take all the subjectivity out of it. There's very clear criteria in terms of the meeting the brief and your design intention, construction standards, colour and association with plant, using plants in the right place. Because we have a responsibility as well in terms of educating visitors to the show. So if something is a shady garden, there must be plants in there that will survive in the shade. You can't have them in full sun. If it's a boggy garden or if it's going to be acidic soil or whatever, you have to make sure you do all that as a proper horticulturist would do it. Now, obviously, we're turning up the volume a little bit in terms of the planting density, and you might say we're overplanting slightly because we're not saying this is a garden that's going to look fantastic in 3 years' time or 5 years' time. We're saying this looks fantastic now. So we're playing with it a little bit, but you still have to stick to, you know, proper horticultural practice. So yeah, we have a, you know, a very skilled panel of judges. Two of them are involved in Chelsea this week. Our chief assessor, Andrew Wilson, and Mark Gregory, who has constructed over 60 gardens at Chelsea and Hampton Court. And we have the head of landscape architecture here from UCD, the curator from the National Botanic Gardens, top landscape architect. So it's a very, very serious panel who come in, and they'll spend practically 2 days just looking at those gardens and judging them. And if you are a serious garden designer and that's your career, and you're looking for a badge of honour, you're looking for some sort of a benchmark, what you want is a Bloom medal, and you want a gold or a silver gilt. You know, you're not going to be happy with a bronze. You certainly don't want to end up with a no award. So it's hugely important to the designers.
But as well as the kind of professional horticulturists and garden designers, there's also a huge emphasis on kind of the amateur gardener as well with the introduction of the postcard gardeners.
Yeah, we're very conscious that there are lots of people out there who are so knowledgeable and so passionate and they want to share that with people. So that's why we've created that opportunity for them. We put them in a different place because we don't want to confuse people. Now, that being said, some of them are going to be absolutely fantastic, and people will not say, oh, that's only an amateur, whereas, you know, something else is professional. Everything in Bloom is constructed, I would say, to the very highest standard. So yeah, I'm always mindful of the fact that some of the best people in our industry, some of the people who have achieved the most, have no training in horticulture. They've just brought, you know, a natural skill or passion for it, and they've learned stuff along the way. So yeah, they're as welcome here as anyone.
And yesterday, in the media, Chelsea was kind of criticised for kind of promoting young garden designers so much, and because there's such a high proportion of young designers at the show. But here there's a big emphasis on kind of supporting young people into the sector. One of your youngest garden designers was about 8 or 9 a couple of years ago.
That's right, yeah, Leah, yeah. I suppose we do take a slightly different approach. Now, I was at Chelsea on Sunday before the show opened, and I know what you're talking about there. What they've done is that they've mixed it up a little bit, and they brought in some new blood, some fresh faces onto Main Avenue, and I actually think it was the right thing to do. I think you need that, and we try to do that every year. You obviously need to know you've got a number of people who have the experience, who can deliver fantastic high-end gardens, but you need fresh thinking, you need fresh creativity. So what we try to do is, if we have someone coming to the show for the first time and they haven't got a lot of experience or knowledge or budget or whatever, we'll try to get them to start with a smaller garden, and if they do well on that, then we'll move them up over the years. I think that's the way to do it. I suppose the difference here is that we actually group all our gardens together. So whether you're doing the smallest, 35 square meter garden, or you're doing a large show garden, 200 square meters, you can be right on the main avenue here at Bloom. So you very much have the same opportunity. And what it means then is that even someone doing the smallest space knows that they are under as much scrutiny as the big guys with the big budgets.
And just before I let you go back into
the chaos.
For people visiting Bloom this year, what's the one thing they should see that can't leave Bloom without going to in Europe?
Oh, that's a difficult question, because I'll annoy someone if I just pick one thing. I suppose for me it would probably be the sculpture garden. I'm thrilled to have that. That's a big space. It's 30 metres by 26 metres. We have a fantastic landscape architect out there, Ingrid, working with Ruth, who has spent all her life working with sculptors and artists, bringing them together and making sure that their work gets out there. And they have something like 40 pieces of sculpture. Now, it is a big garden, and they've designed it in such a way that each piece of sculpture is set in its own context, that you can actually appreciate it without looking at something beyond it. They have something like 40 pieces from 30 of the country's top sculptures in one space. So I think that's going to be something to see.
Perfect. Well, thanks very much for having a chat with us.
Pleasure. Absolutely enjoyed it.